Good evening. It's my privilege to welcome you here to the second of our summer Vesper services. We are glad that you are here. If you are a guest, we're especially honored by your presence and want you to know that you are always welcome at River Road Church Baptist. The theme for our summer Vesper series is "This Is Us." As we have heard from one another how God continues to meet us in a variety of ways, and in so doing, meets our deepest needs. Last week, we emphasized how God meets us along the journey of life. Tonight, we'll be reminded of how God meets us in music. And in the weeks to come, we will consider how God meets us in artistic expression and in service. I hope you'll be able to be present for those services as well. Before we begin this evening, I want to offer a special word of thanks to our service leaders, Georgia Vaughn, Ken Wilson, Bob Gallagher, William Gray, and Justin and Mason Davis. I would also remind you that following the service, we invite you to proceed to the plaza to enjoy further fellowship and a cool ice cream treat here at the end of a simply stunning summer day. Now, as the lighting of the Christ candle has reminded us, we gather in the presence of one who has placed his song of love and grace, peace and justice in our hearts. So let us begin our time by listening for how we might better hear that song truthfully and sing that song more fully.
Thank you. A reading from Psalms, chapter 150, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Music in general, church music in particular, and especially hymn singing, has a mysterious ability to draw people together, to create unity, to promote love and loyalty to one another and to God. National anthems, fight songs, love songs, hymns of faith and witness all have this mysterious power. These songs arouse emotions and teachings from the past help us live faithfully and effectively in the present and retain this mysterious power for the future. The past. Music can transport one from the present to a previous time and space. I can walk into Libby Market and suddenly I'm in 1963 listening to my hometown radio station. The emotions of my 10-year-old self, the day when I first heard the Little Surfer Girl, take me back to my memory of my Surfer Girl of the week. I'm sure you've had similar experiences. When I opened my hymnal here last Sunday morning to sing Fairest Lord Jesus, I was taken back instantly, sitting there in that pew, to 1959, when my dad first taught me to sing parts. They'd given me a new Kingston Trio album, and I thought, the three men singing three different notes at the same time was about the coolest thing I'd ever heard, and how did they do that? So he taught me to sing Ferris Lord Jesus alto, and he and my mom and myself on alto formed a little trio, and we were the hottest thing in Jonesville, North Carolina, 1960 funeral circuit. I once had a choir member that got up and left rehearsal in tears. I had no idea what was going on. I finally went to see what was the matter. I just stopped rehearsal and went out in the hall, and this choir member had no idea why she was crying. She was just undone and had no idea. And she left the rehearsal. The next day, she had no idea. 2 or 3 days later, it finally dawned on her that that anthem was the piece of music that she was singing when she received news of the impending death of her father. And that struck a chord. It got embedded in her heart. And when she sang it again, whoa. Music has the power to grab our past emotions and bring them right here to the surface and to relive here and now. Roman numeral 2, the present. Music, church music, and in particular hymn singing, has this same power in the present. The power to bring emotions, experiences, beliefs, and teachings to life and to the immediate present in life-changing ways. A church with a strong hymn singing tradition is benefited in so many ways. Hymns teach theology. Hymns ground us with authentic words and attach beautiful melodies to these words that gives us tools for understanding life and faith. Hymns give us simple and enjoyable ways of passing our faith to our children, our own children, and those children here to which we've been entrusted. Hymns unite generations of believers, both the past generations that wrote the hymns many times centuries ago and the generations of writers today. And it unites the generations of worshipers that gather here every Sunday as one, here to here, united. In my years of music ministry, I subscribe to the idea that it takes a village to raise a child. My choirs, our choirs, were graded choirs, of course, but in every group, I invited musicians from other generations to the rehearsals to serve as models. The children's bell choirs always had some older ringers, middle schoolers and high schoolers, to show them the way. The children's choirs had one or more teenagers interspersed to serve as models. The youth choir had an adult mentor in each section, helping them to learn to sing parts. Every Sunday morning in elementary Sunday school, the children gathered to sing the first stanza of 10 hymns. But in addition to these children, there were adults from the choir to model part singing so that even as first graders, they sang four-part harmony all the way through because it takes a village to raise a child. Each generation has a role in teaching each succeeding generation. Our hymns and songs ground us in our faith and in passing our faith to the next generation. Here at River Road, the week-by-week intergenerational participation in hymn singing gives all worshipers a sense of belonging, of sharing faith and beliefs with the community. It takes a village to raise a child. And third, the future. As long as there are humans on earth, there will be singing. Singing that joins us in hearts and minds and spirits and voices. From the time of Moses to Jesus and the disciples singing in the upper room, to Paul and Silas singing in prison, to the medieval monks in the cloisters chanting their psalms, to Bach cantatas, to the choirs here at River Road, and the River Road choirs that'll sing in the cathedrals of England in coming weeks. We find meaning and pleasure in singing to God. I close with this recent hymn from the pen of Mary Louise Pringle, the editor of the New Presbyterian Hymnal. This hymn's subject, dementia, touches the hearts and lives of many thousands of families. If you're into poetry, notice the triple rhymes. They are hard to do in hymn writing. Confused, abused, infused. When memory fades and recognition falters, when eyes we love grow dim and minds confused, speak to our souls of love that never alters. Speak to our hearts by pain and fear abused. O God of life and healing peace, empower us with patient courage by your grace infused. As frailness grows and youthful strengths diminish, in weary arms that work to their earnest fill, your aging servants labor now to finish their earthly task as fits your mystery's will. We grieve their waning, yet rejoice, believing your arms unwearied shall uphold us still. Within your spirit, goodness lives unfading. The past and future mingle into one. All joys remain, unshadowed light pervading. No valued deed will ever be undone. Your mind enfolds all finite acts and offerings. Held in your heart, our deathless life is one. W-O-N. Note the one line. No valued deed will ever be undone. It all mattered, and it will matter forever. Amen.
our New Testament reading from Colossians chapter 6, verse 13. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spirituals to God. The word of the Lord.
We come now to a time of testimony to the power of hymns in our lives. And so we invite you to stand right where you are and offer a hymn that is meaningful to you and why it is meaningful in 1 minute, if you would. And after 5 to 7 of us have shared, Ed Pruden has agreed graciously to stand and share his favorite hymn and why it is meaningful to him as well. As you stand, I will bring the wireless microphone to you so everyone can hear.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, Dr. Miller and I talked about the service tonight, and she said, would you be willing to tell one of us or all of us your favorite hymn and why? And since I have a lot of trouble picking out the favorite hymn, I said yes. Anyway, the upshot of it was that I have chosen a hymn tonight. My hymn is an old hymn, Blessed Assurance. It's written by two ladies in 1873, Fanny Crosby and Phoebe Knapp. There's two very unusual names. But anyway, these ladies put together the chorus, the stanza, the refrain, and we have Blessed Assurance. The reason I chose this song is because it succinctly describes our whole Christian faith in about probably 4 lines. And the words are, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born in the Spirit and washed in His blood. That's my song. That's my choice. I'll be singing it a while, I hope. And thank you.
So I hadn't prepared. I just heard you ask. And so 22 years ago, Lori and I got married, and the song that we had for our wedding, and particularly the first 2 verses, were Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It's just a song that spoke to us at that time, and certainly since then, when we think about our union, I mean, it touches us and then the community in which we share our faith with.
Being a church musician, I can't let this moment pass. I also did not think about preparing. But anyway, one of the hymns that I've always appreciated, the text especially, and the music as well, is the church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, that's what's so wonderful about music and fellowship, knowing that the church, we are the church, we're the church universal. And we sing that hymn through the years as I lead it in congregations or whatever. It just speaks so to our faith and to what Jesus Christ is our foundation. The wonderful hymn of the Spirit and of the Word. The church is one foundation. Praise God for music and for the church. Bless you. Thank you.
Mine's nothing prepared either. I just love the song. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses because my dad used to sing it or whistle it all day long.
I'm not sure this is or was my favorite hymn, but it's been on my mind since Tom Graves mentioned it in the most recent newsletter, I think, from the Shepherd's Bible class. And it reminded me of my youth and how much I enjoyed singing hymns. And the first hymn that really grabbed me that I sang over and over was "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And, you know, that reflects a theology that we don't talk too much about these days, about the importance of getting to heaven and when you die. And the reason I sang that song so much was because I was the first grandchild of my grandparents who lived out in the country, beautiful home, big front porch veranda, and frequently I would go down and spend a week. And of course, I was the only one there and didn't have a whole lot to do except entertain myself. And I would sit in a rocking chair on the front veranda and sing to the top of my voice every day, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there."
I'll share very briefly. And I'm so grateful Georgia played it tonight. I grew up calling it "Praise to the Lord the Almighty," or "Praise ye the Lord the Almighty." Unfortunately, our hymnal leaves out the most significant stanza for me. And Dr. Gallagher and I have talked about this before. There are, in one of the stanzas that's not printed in our hymnal, six words that get me choked up every time, because it's words that I remind myself when I've had a difficult day, or when I think things are not going to change, or that the way things are just the way they're always going to be. That hymn reminds me, "Ponder anew what the Almighty can do." And as they would say in North Carolina, that'll preach.
My favorite song is "Come All Ye Faithful." And I don't know why, but every time I listen to it, it's stuck in my head for a week. So it's become one of my favorites.
When I was in first grader, I went to a Catholic parochial school. And the first hymn the 50 of us in our classroom learned from Sister Alberta was "Praise the Lord, the Almighty." In 1966, finally, the Catholics realized that cross and hymn singing was a good thing. We sang it, and it's funny how firsts affect things in your life. Because then, when I went to a different school in fifth grade, the first hymn we sang in chapel was "A Mighty Fortress," and it's still unforgettable for me. And then, the very first hymn I played, when I had my very first job as a church organist after eighth grade, was in Methodist Church, confirms all through the whole front of the chancel, whole front area there was full of greenery. And I was the summer substitute organist, and the first hymn I played there was "Sweet Hour of Prayer." And I promise we'll sing that in this room at some point. It's not in our hymnal, but it's a great one. And I fully agree about that missing stanza. So those are my three. And it is funny how your first experience with something
one of my childhood memories is of "Lead On, O King Eternal," and I thought it was "Lead On, O Kinky Turtle." I'm going to mention 119, "The Strife Is Over," or, and if you want to pull it out and look at it for a moment. My parents were married for 53 years. And they died about a year and a half apart in 1987 and 88. My dad passed away first, and he experienced what I think God created a human death to be. Peaceful. He died of congestive heart failure. His last two or three days, he seemed to be transitioning, seemed to be irritated when we would attend to him. Looking straight through the ceiling at Lakewood Manor into the heavens, and died peacefully and lovingly, surrounded by his family. No fear, and I just felt like maybe that's the way it's intended to be. A year and a half later, my mother died, and her experience was different. She died of ovarian cancer, and the last few weeks were horrendous. And so 119 is a triumphant hymn. That begins with three alleluias and ends with another one. The strife is over. The battle done. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ, their legions, hath dispersed. Let shouts of holy joy outburst.
Thank you all who shared. I am reminded of what one of my professors once said. Anytime somebody shares their story with you, you ought to take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. And isn't it a remarkable thing how much music and the music of our faith is intertwined, is an integral part of those stories?
As your church grows, Jesus is Father.
You know, Scripture talks about hiding God's Word in our hearts. And I think we do that in many ways, but for many of us, that happens through song. That's where the Spirit and the truth gets in deep, to where it can hold us steady when no one else or when little else will. In that great hope, let us offer our prayers. O God of grace, you who put a song into our hearts and give us reason to sing, we come tonight joining our voices even with the birds in our praise to you, you who never fail to create and redeem and sustain, to meet us where we are, to give us what we need. For by you we do know blessed assurance. Through you our eyes can see. In you we do have an ever faithful friend. And with you we can find our way home. This evening we are mindful of all the hymns and songs and music that you have given to us and that you have taught us, of how you have met us in them, how they have seen us through, how they have calmed our troubled hearts, how they have challenged us to do more, and we are thankful for them. We are thankful as well for gifted musicians who wrote them and composed them and performed them and taught them and led them and recorded them so that we might be moved and called by them. We are thankful too for those who taught those hymns and songs to us, whether we were in a sanctuary or in a rehearsal hall or sitting on someone's knee or at a youth camp. We are mindful of the rich heritage of music here at River Road and are thankful for how it continues via the hard work and dedication of so many. We pray your blessing upon the choir even now as they prepare for their trip to England. We are mindful, though, that in some measure music is a luxury which many struggle to access. And so we pray for those who feel this need, along with even more basic needs of food and shelter and freedom and justice and education and health care. Enable us to sing out with and for those who so often are not heard, and those who struggle to find a reason to sing. Enable us to live into the words of our own songs until all your children have overcome and have found their way home. And we are mindful of those who would be with us even now, joining their voices with ours, and yet cannot be present. We pray your special blessing upon them. We pray for healing and grace, courage and patience, but most of all, that you would not be far from them. We pray especially for Bill Savage and Roy Terry and Sandra Trent and June Lane and Frank Schwall and for these that we now remember in silence. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour thy power even now as we continue to sing your hymns and strive to live into their truth. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Before we leave here on this particular evening, I would indeed be remiss if I did not remind you that this year the Holland Lectures will feature Dr. C. Michael Hahn speaking on "Tell Me What You Sing and I'll Tell You Who You Are," developing a congregational identity through congregational singing. This begins on Sunday, August the 4th, during the Sunday school hour. I hope that you will put that on your calendar and be present, and invite some folks to come hear Dr. Hahn. You won't be disappointed. Would you please join me now as we bless one another in our going? As you are with us in the sanctuary, be with us in the world. As you lead us in the world, may we return bearing witness in the sanctuary. Amen.